It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeBounier. Stay tuned for an hour of Westerns. Later on, we hear Chester's murder on Gunsmoke, but now a grim story on the Have Gun Will Travel series called My Son Must Die, written by Ray Kemper. This first heard on CBS Radio on July 31st, 1960, with Ben Wright, Vic Perrin, Lillian Baieff, and star John Daner as Paladin.
I'm sorry our fishing trip turned out this way, hey boy. But we can't go back to San Francisco until we know this girl is safe.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin?
Hey, boy. Well, what in the devil is all that you're carrying?
Oh, it's camping equipment. I come in, please.
Well, yes, come on in.
Oh, thank you. Gee. Oh. Yeah, hey, boy, tired.
I don't doubt it, but why in the world do you have all that equipment?
Oh, it's very necessary for a fishy trip, Mr. Paladin.
Well, we certainly don't need all that.
Oh, yes, sir. Man in store tell hey boy he need many things.
Oh, the man at the store. Well, did you tell him that we were only going for 1 week?
Oh, yes, sir. Hey boy get time off from job that you promised to take me, and that it's very happy time.
But may I remind you that besides two saddle horses, we're only taking one pack horse.
Oh? Too much equipment, huh?
Oh, much too much.
Will hey boy have to leave some?
You'll have to leave a lot. All we need are a couple of saddle blankets, cooking gear, some fishing line, and a few hooks.
Oh.
And the rest is up to the fish when they see the worms.
Worms? Little yeah. Wiggly worms?
That's right. We use them for bait.
Yeah. Hey boy, not like little wiggly worm.
Well, there's one other way to catch fish, hey boy.
Oh, Isa? How?
Well, you find yourself a nice rock out in the middle of the stream, see?
Hmm?
And you crouch on it like a cat. And be still. Very still.
Oh, Isa. Then what?
Then, after a couple of hours, you might see a fish. And when you do, you take a deep breath, dive into that icy stream, and swim after him.
Huh?
If you're lucky and can hold your breath long enough, you may catch a fish.
Hmm. Isa Paladin?
Yes?
Hey, boy, use little wiggly worm.
That's a warning signal for all drivers. And that can be a warning signal for drowsy drivers on long, monotonous trips. You see, driving can make you drowsy no matter how much sleep you get. And driving and dozing just don't mix. Why take chances? Take no-doze, stay-awake tablets. Millions of times a year, safe no-doze keeps drivers awake and alert, helps you bounce back so that you feel sharp, ready for any emergency. How does no-doze do it? Ask your doctor. He'll tell you that no-doze contains a safe and accurate amount of caffeine, the same refreshing stimulant you get in your coffee or tea. But safe no-doze acts faster, is handier and more reliable. Best of all, it is not habit-forming. And no-doze is so safe, it is legally sold on a national basis without a prescription. Get no-doze stay-awake tablets to help you stay awake and alert. It could save your life.
Hey Boy and I left San Francisco and traveled south into the Santa Lucia Mountains. The wild beauty of this part of California was magnificent to see. The great jagged cliffs rising toward the sky and then suddenly slashing off and dropping into the crashing surf of the Pacific far below, the heavy, untamed forest growing to the very brink of the cliffs. We turned inland and rode deep into the Santa Lucias, searching for the mountain streams that would afford the best fishing. And soon we had a comfortable camp set up. The next morning, Hey Boy was up with the sun and standing on the bank of the stream, fishing. By 10 o'clock, he still hadn't had a strike. Hey, boy, don't you want to eat some breakfast?
Shh. What? Hey, boy, catch your fish.
Well, now, look here. We'll be here a whole week, and so will the fish.
Hey, boy, you's wiggly worm, just like you say, but still no catch your fish.
Well, you know what I think. I think you've frightened the fish away, standing there staring at that stream the way you are.
Yeah, hey, boy, wait a long time to go on fishy trip with you. Now I catch a fishy.
Yes. What was that?
Oh, sound like a lady scream, Mr. Paladin.
Come on.
Mr. Paladin!
You there! Leave that girl alone. You hear me? I said leave her alone.
You hit Carlos. Kill. I will kill.
Oh, no, you don't.
Gringo. Dirty gringo.
He have knife.
You will die, gringo, with a knife.
Don't you try it. You're all right. Why do you harm this girl?
I must kill her. You must let me kill her.
I said, why do you harm this girl?
Go. I go now. You will turn Carlos loose.
You come back here. Come back.
Please, let him go. Don't go after him.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Who are you?
Marlene Carter.
What's this all about? What happened?
Well, I was rounding up stray cattle when Carlos came up and tried to kill me.
You know this boy?
Yes.
Why would he try to kill you?
I don't know. He's like a wild, crazy animal.
How far do you live from here?
About a mile.
Hey, boy. Get our things together. We better see that she gets home all right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, mister.
Again this fall, we citizens of the United States have the chance to demonstrate to the rest of the world the vigor of our free institutions. But if past history be a guide, an appallingly large percentage of Americans will not vote in the presidential election. In the present critical world situation, and with economic problems at home, men of the highest skill and capacity are needed. The caliber of the officials we elect depends on the thoughtful choice of the people. Participate in this fall's elections. Contribute to your party or candidate. Work for your choices. Make sure you're registered. Then be sure to take your turn at the voting booth in November. During the months ahead, right through the excitement of election night, CBS News will report all campaign developments fairly, impartially, completely, to help you make your decision intelligently, to make you a fully informed voter this November.
Marlene Carter's ranch was hidden in a small valley, and the heavily wooded forest came almost to the back of the house, its tangled undergrowth capable of hiding many things, its darkness lonely and sinister. We were met in the front yard by an ageless Mexican woman who was introduced as Toleta. Briefly, Marlene explained what had happened, and Toleta looked at me, her black eyes strange and piercing. Marlene insisted we stay for coffee, and after the first cup, Hey Boy went outside to water the horses. By this time, the girl had recovered sufficiently to talk freely.
Toleta and I run this ranch by ourselves, Mr. Paladin.
Just the two of you?
That's right. My mother died when I was born, and my father died just last year. Talita's all I have left. She's been like a mother to me all my life.
But don't you have someone here to help you? Ranch hands?
No. This place is a long way from any town, Mr. Paladin.
Oh.
And the men you can get aren't the most desirable. I hired a couple of men once. As soon as they found out Talita and I lived here alone, they began to get ideas. Talita had to run them off with a shotgun.
Yeah, I see.
Besides, I only run a small herd, and I can handle cattle about as good as any man.
Well, I'm sure you can, but it seems that handling cattle isn't your only problem. What about Carlos?
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible thing.
Who is he?
Mr. Paladin, Carlos Martinez was raised right here, right on this ranch.
Oh?
My father always treated him like he was my brother. We grew up together. Carlos was always kind and good. Until about 2 years ago.
What happened?
Well, there was an accident.
Accident?
He was breaking a horse. The horse threw him. Carlos fractured his skull. We thought he was going to die, but he didn't. Maybe, oh, it's a horrible thing to say, but maybe it would have been better if he had.
Why would you say that?
When he got well, he wasn't the same.
How do you mean?
Well, he just... Sometimes he'd get kind of wild. It was frightening. My father couldn't control him. Nobody could. Then one day he just disappeared. That was over a year ago.
And you hadn't seen him again until today?
Only once when we buried Dad. We saw him lurking in the woods. Toledo tried to go out and talk to him, but he looked at her kind of wild and ran off. Oh, Toledo, did Mr. Paladin's friend find his way around?
Si. He's still watering the horses. More coffee, senor?
Yes, thank you, Toledo. I still don't understand why he'd want to kill you, Marlene. You say Carlos was raised on this ranch. He almost got killed by a horse, which seemed to hurt his mind and turn him into some kind of an animal.
He is not an animal.
Toledo.
He is a man with feelings and gentleness and hurts, just like you and just like me.
Toledo.
I raised him just as I raised Senorita Marlene. I rocked him to sleep when he was a child, and I cried over him when he was sick.
Please, Toledo, I didn't tell
there
him.
There is nothing to hide. Senor Paladin should know that Carlos Martinez is my son.
I sat and looked at Talita. In her eyes, I could see the pain and torture, the heartache of a mother who has had to stand helplessly by and watch a thing she loves, a part of herself, her own son, turn into a savage. Without another word, she turned and silently left the room.
I'm sorry, Mr. Paladin. I should have told you Carlos was Toledo's son.
Well, I should have guessed. This must hurt her very deeply.
More than anyone knows. Sometimes at night I hear her rocking in the chair on the porch, singing a little Spanish lullaby. The one she used to sing to Carlos and me a long time ago. Well,
can't something be done? I mean, couldn't he be put somewhere and given treatment?
Where? There's nothing around here, even if he could be caught.
Well, what about the doctors? What do they say?
All the same thing. Nothing can be done for him.
Well, still, it seems that...
Mr. Paladin?
What is it, hey boy? What's wrong?
Big man, sir. One who tried to kill young lady. He outside.
What?
Yes, sir. I see him in woods back of house. He see hey boy. He run.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, sir. Very sure.
He's come back, Mr. Paladin. What'll I do?
I don't know. But I do know you and Toledo can't stay here alone. Do you have an extra room?
Yes, I do.
All right, then. For your protection, Marlene, hey boy and I are going to stay here tonight.
And now, here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Bergen, when I'm old enough to drive, can I have a car?
Not unless you learn to care for it properly, Charlie.
Oh, I'm a genius with a monkey wrench. The kids in our block say if Charlie can't fix your car, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. Now, suppose you have a car.
Yeah, let's make it a Corvette. A conservative red with yellow stripes.
The color is not important. But if it's any GM car or truck, you should take it to your General Motors dealer for service.
Oh, sure, I know.
Oh? And what do you ask for?
Have a credit?
No. Guardian maintenance. Do you know what guardian maintenance means?
It's the story of my life. Like you are my guardian and I maintain you.
No, sir. Guardian maintenance is expert service performed by GM-trained servicemen who have the proper tools and the factory-approved parts to do the job right. And it's available to owners of Chevrolet cars and trucks, Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, Buicks, Cadillacs, and GMC trucks.
And red Corvettes with yellow stripes.
Mr. Paladin, you want a cup of coffee, too?
No, thank you, boy.
Hey, boy, not like fishy trip. Want to go back to San Francisco?
Yeah. I'm sorry it turned out this way, hey, boy, but we can't go back just now.
Somebody have unhappy doggy?
No, that's a coyote, hey, boy. There's a full moon tonight. So you'll hear a lot of them.
Not a good sound. Make hey, boy, spine tickle.
Yeah. I think I'll go take a look around outside before turning in. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yes, sir. Oh, you be careful, Mr. Paladin. Big crazy man may be waiting outside to kill you. Remember, he have knife.
I'll remember.
Mr. Paladin.
Huh? Oh, Marlene. I thought you were in bed.
I was, but I heard Toledo.
Toledo?
She's on the porch again, rocking and singing. Come here by the window. She knows Carlos is around. I think she wants him to hear her.
She shouldn't be out there alone.
I know.
I'm going out.
I'll go with you. Bright tonight, Toledo.
See. You should be in bed, little one.
And Toledo, you mind if I look around a little? I think it might be a good idea.
I cannot control your actions, Senor Paladin.
Perhaps it'd be better if you and Marlene went back into the house.
No. We will wait on the porch for you, Senor Paladin. Then we will all go back in the house.
All right. As you wish.
Mr. Paladin, are you hurt?
A knife. My back. Oh. Get away. And get back to the house.
No, I can't leave you.
I told you I would be back.
Carlos!
The knife. It is good. No.
Carlos, don't.
I will kill him, then I will kill you.
Carlos, don't. Please,
Carlos!
Don't.
Carlos, your mother calls you. I have no mother.
Did you not hear me sing the lullaby? Was that not the song your mother used to sing to you?
See, that is so. But you were singing to this one. You were not singing to me. Always you sing to her, and she has taken you from me. She has taken you from me, so I have no mother.
Listen to me, Carlos.
No, I will kill them. I will kill them both.
Don't, Carlos. I have Mr. Paladin's gun. So you stand back. You just stand back.
No, I must kill.
No, Carlos, don't! Don't! Oh, my son. Carlos.
She shot me. She killed me.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, Carlos. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it.
She took you. She took my mother from me?
No, Carlos. Never did that happen. Never.
Was it so? Were you truly singing for me?
It is true. Only for you. Carlos. Carlos. Oh, my son.
Oh, Toledo. I'm sorry.
It is all right, my child. He will be happy now.
Come in. Miss Wong.
You feel better now, Mr. Pilot, and the bad wound all healed up?
Oh, yes, I feel fine, thank you. Oh, doctor says I'll be up by tomorrow.
Oh, you very sick when Hayboy bring you back from trip.
By the way, where is Hayboy? I haven't seen him for 2 days.
Oh, he go all over. Try to sell camping, fishing things he bought to go on trip.
Oh, I see. You mean he doesn't like fishing after all,
no,
huh?
Sir. Hey, boy, say he never leaves San Francisco again. He say too many things happen.
Well, this fishing trip was a little unusual.
Oh, is that? Hey, boy, also say it's too easy to catch fish.
Too easy?
Too easy.
Hey, boy, said that?
Is that? He say he catch big fish first time he put line in water.
Big fish?
Big fish.
How big?
Oh, about this big.
That big?
That big.
Miss Wong, do you know what?
Is that? Hey, boy, tell Missy Wong big fishy stories.
You are so very right.
I remember something you said to me long time ago.
Oh, what was that?
Isa, you say, use discretion. So when hey, boy, talk about fish, Missy Wong let eyes get very large. You listen with mouth open.
Ah, I see.
Oh, hey, boy, have such good audience. He take Missy Wong for a walk in the moonlight. Oh, so pretty soon, he forget about fish.
Miss Wong, hey, boy may not know it, but he's the fish that swallowed the hook.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light. Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris. And stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Ann Whitfield, Vic Perrin, and Lillian Byatt. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel on Tuned to Yesterday from July 31st, 1960 on the CBS Radio Network. That script actually not used on the television series, which was the norm for this unique radio show, which had its origins on the TV screen. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and now a radio show equally, if not more popular on television. It's Gunsmoke, with William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon and Parley Bear as Chester Proudfoot, the deputy, in this episode called Chester's Murder, from January 15th, 1955, on CBS.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
There's a couple of chairs, Matt. Let's sit down and watch the plaza for a while.
Okay, Doc.
You'd look better sitting than standing anyway.
Well, I'd feel better, that's for sure.
Oh, well. An attack of the ague always leaves a man weak, Matt. You got over yours darn fast.
Well, I still feel kind of raveled out, Doc. Stupid and mad at the same time.
Oh, well, ague doesn't improve a man's temper.
Oh, I haven't had a good night's sleep in a week, over.
Marshal Dillon?
Yeah.
Marshal, you don't know me, but I've seen you around lots of times. My name's Jake Bewley. I've seen him, too. Hello, Doc.
Hello.
No, what can I do for you, Bewley?
I heard you was in the market for a good horse, Marshal.
Yeah, I'm always in the market for a good horse.
Well, that's what I do, Marshal. Ride around the country looking for extra good horses. I don't make much profit off them, but keeps me from working steady.
And I don't buy horses very often, Bewley, even good ones.
You like buckskins?
Sure. But I don't want to look at him tonight.
Tomorrow?
Well, yeah, if I'm feeling better.
You know, Matt, what'd do you good?
Oh, what, Doc?
Go over to the Long Branch and take a couple of shots of whiskey.
No?
And then go to bed.
Okay, Doc. I'll just do that. You want to come along?
No. I got some work to do at my office. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, Beauty.
Good night, Doc.
Good night, Doc. Now, how long you been around Dodge, Beauty?
Couple of months.
No? You make a pretty good living trading horses?
I done good so far. Without cheating nobody too bad either.
Marshal Dillon!
Oh, now, what does he want?
Who is he?
Sam Noonan.
Oh, yeah. Don't he work at the Long Branch?
He built it. Well, what do you want, Sam?
Hurry up, Marshal.
Oh, what's the trouble?
Out back. Gonna be a fight.
A fight? Who?
You know that gambler, Charlie Pickard?
He's also kind of a gunman, isn't he?
He's roaring drunk, Marshal, and there's gonna be trouble, sure. Now, come on, we'll go up the alley.
That Pickard's always getting in trouble.
Who's the after, Sam?
Chester, that's who.
Chester?
Yeah. It started right inside at the bar, Marshal. Chester bought a drink for that little blonde girl. Need
well,
doctor.
It doesn't matter now. You can tell me later. There they are.
Oh, don't be a fool, Pickard. Shooting people ain't gonna help nothing.
I didn't bring you out here for talk, Chester. Now everybody get back.
Ah, you're drunk, Pickard.
I ain't so drunk I can't shoot you.
Pickard.
Marshal Dillon.
Don't touch the gun, Pickard.
What are you doing here, Marshal?
I'm stopping a fight.
I ain't gonna fight you.
All right, then, give me your gun.
Take it. I ain't that drunk.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Throw him in jail.
Now, wait, Marshal.
Shut up. Take him around the other way, Chester, out the next alley. I'm going inside for a minute. Then I'll be over.
There ain't gonna be no fight. I think I'll go to bed. I'll be around with that buckskin in the morning, Marsh.
Yeah, sure. Sure, Dilly.
It ain't fair to put me in jail, Marshal. I ain't done nothing.
You're drunk and you were about to shoot a man, Pickard. I'm doing you a favor throwing you in jail.
That's true, Pickard. All right. Put me in jail. But wait till I get sober, Chester. Wait till tomorrow.
Oh.
I'll get you. You'll see what I'll do.
You're not going to do anything, Pickard. All right, take him along, Chester.
I'll follow you, Pickard. Go ahead. Walk slow.
It won't be so easy next time. Marshals. When are they going to have marshals around for?
Oh, you'll forget it by morning.
No, I won't. You'll see, Chester.
All right, Sam, tell me now. What's this all about?
Well, I started to tell you, Marshal. Chester bought a drink for Nita Tucker at the bar in there. You know her.
Yeah, I've seen her around.
Well, she's really Pickard's girl. He kind of watches out for her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, she don't seem to like it much, but that don't stop him. And he's real jealous if anybody gets anywhere near her, especially if he's been drinking, like tonight.
So he was going to shoot Chester because he bought Nita a drink, huh?
Yeah.
Now, that's a great reason for killing a man.
Oh, that Pickard can be awful mean, Marshal. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if he makes more trouble tomorrow when he's sober.
And I'll keep him in jail till he forgets about it.
Can't keep him there forever.
No, but I can always run.
Come from that alley there.
Yeah, come on.
Must be Chester. Hey, looky, Marshal. That's Pickard. Chester shot him.
What's the matter with you, Chester? Did he knife you or something? Here, come on. Stand up. Come on.
Pickard's dead, Marshal.
Are you hurt, Chester? What happened? Come on, tell me, what happened?
I got hit. And here's Chester's gun, Marshal. Laying right to his feet.
Did he jump you? Is that what happened?
No. No, he didn't jump me.
Well, then why did you shoot him?
I didn't shoot him. Somebody hit me. Well, that don't make sense. Of course you shot him. This here's your gun. It's been fired. I didn't shoot him. Somebody jumped out from back of that rain barrel and hit me. Eh? You ain't bleeding nowhere. Well, he hit me back here, behind my ear. Didn't knock me out for long. I heard the gunshot, but I couldn't do nothing.
Who was it, Chester?
I didn't see him. I started to turn, and he hit me. You're going to have a hard time proving that, Chester. I didn't kill him, Sam. He swore he was going to get you tomorrow. And looks to me like you killed him for that. I got hit, I tell you. You believe me, don't you, Mr. Dillon?
Sure, sure, Chester. But Sam's right. It's going to be hard to prove. You're not even marked up.
Well, let Doc look at it. He can tell I got hit. I wouldn't kill nobody like that.
Sam, get somebody to take care of Pickard's body, will you? We're going over to Doc's.
That lamp a little higher, Matt. I can't see.
Yes, is that better, Doc?
That's fine. That's fine. Now then, show me where you were hit, Chester.
Right there, Doc. Right back of the ear.
Right here. What did he hit you with?
Well, how do I know? I didn't see him.
Well, maybe he used the edge of his hand. It isn't swollen. The skin isn't broken anywhere.
Well, it's bruised, ain't it?
Well, not that I can see.
Well, it must have done something.
How hard were you hit, Chester?
Well, it knocked me off my feet. And I got kindly fainty for a few seconds. Long enough for him to take my gun and shoot Charlie Pickard. That's pretty hard, ain't it?
Mm, yeah. You can put the lamp down there, man.
Okay, Doc.
You're saying you can't testify I got hit, ain't you, Doc?
You want me to lie for you, Chester?
No, I wouldn't ask you to do that, Doc.
It's too bad Sam Noonan had to be there, isn't it, Matt?
Oh, Sam likes Chester, but he thinks he did it, and he'll testify against him.
Well, how can he, Mr. Dillon? He didn't see it.
No, nobody saw it.
Well, then they can't hang me, can they?
And they can't hang you, Chester.
But prison, huh? Maybe for life.
We'll find out who did it.
Oh, there's no way in the world to find out.
Now, wait a minute, Chester. You're giving up too easy.
Tell me. You and Doc, you don't really think I'd done that, do you?
You're in a bad spot, Chester, real bad, but I believe you. What about you, Doc?
Oh, of course I believe you, Chester.
Thanks, Doc. And you too, Mr. Dillon. I'd feel awful if you didn't believe me.
Well, worrying about it won't help, Chester.
Well, I gotta worry about it. If we don't find out who done it, I'll have to stand trial. And I won't have a chance if I do. Are you going to put me in jail, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, of course not. You'd better stay around the office, though, huh? There's going to be enough talk about it as it is.
All right, sir.
What was the girl's name? Nita Tucker?
Yes, sir, that's right. But why?
Well, maybe she knows who wanted Charlie Pickard dead. I'll be back later. Nothing visible.
Did you put Chester in jail?
I'll have a shot of whiskey, Sam.
Look, you Marshal. I'm as sorry about this as anybody. But just because Chester works for you, there's no reason he can murder a man and then go free.
I'll be responsible for Chester.
If he gets away, it'll make a lot of trouble, Marshal.
You think Chester did it, don't you?
Of course I do. And I don't like him not being in jail.
Sam, that's Nita Tucker sitting over there with Kitty, isn't it?
Yeah, that's her. But she didn't do it.
Oh?
Well, she hated Pickard, but you're not going to try to hang this on her, Marshal. No, sir. I'll stand up for her. She's a good girl.
I got the drink, Sam. I don't need it.
Hello, Matt.
Eva, Kitty?
You know Nita Tucker, Matt?
No. How do you do?
Marshal, sit down.
Thank you. I'm sorry about Charlie Pickard, Nita.
Sounds terrible, Marshal, but I'm not very sorry. I hated him. Charlie didn't treat women very good, Matt.
Well, that wouldn't excuse murdering him, though.
I'm not so sure.
Marshal, you're not thinking I had anything to do with it, are you?
Chester says he didn't do it, and I believe him.
I wouldn't kill anybody, even him.
Where were you when it happened?
I was in here.
She was at the bar, Matt. And I was standing right next to her.
Okay. I guess that clears you, Nita. Tell me, who else hated Pickard?
A man like him has enemies, Marshal. There must be a lot of them.
Anybody in particular?
Not that I know of. Look, I'd like to help Marshal. If Chester didn't do it, it isn't right. He should be in jail.
No, it sure isn't.
It looks bad for Chester, don't it, Matt?
Yeah, Kitty, it does. Well, good night. Good night, Edith.
Good night, Matt.
Dillon?
Hello, Billy.
I heard about Chester, Marshal. I'm awful sorry about it.
Oh?
He's always seemed like such a nice fella. Sure is too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
People are going to wonder why you don't lock him up.
No, they are.
Well, not me. I understand, but Sam Noonan was saying something about it inside there a minute ago.
I see.
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. He's going to make trouble about it. I told him not to be a fool.
Just a minute, Billy. Well, what do you care? Is Chester a good friend of yours?
No, I don't know him very well, but I don't like to see no trouble start.
Well, if it does, I'll handle it.
I know you will, Marshal. I just wanted to tell you what the talk is. I'll bring that buckskin by in the morning, huh?
Okay. Good night, Billy.
Good night, Marshal.
Jack Bewley's warrant didn't bother me much. But still, I couldn't delay filing murder charges against Chester forever. And after 10 days of useless search for the real killer, I had to do it. And then having written him up, I really began to worry. Chester did too. He'd sit quietly in the office and look at me as though I'd just kicked him. So I stayed out of there as much as possible. Like the day I went into Mr. Jonas' general store for nothing but to kill a little time looking around.
Matt! Hey, Matt, come here.
Wow. Hello, Kitty. Nita.
Hello, Marshal.
Well, are you girls going to buy that whole pile of dresses you got stacked up here?
As soon as Mr. Jonas gets back here, we are, Marshal.
You mean she is? I'm only watching, Matt.
Well, isn't that a lot of clothes for just one woman?
Not for me. Not this time.
Not this time?
Matt, when does a girl buy everything new? All she wants?
Well, I don't know, I'm sure.
When she gets married, of course.
Married? You getting married, Nita?
Next Saturday, Marshal.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Do I know the groom?
Jake Bewley.
Jake Bewley.
I guess everybody's surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you come to the wedding, Marshal? I wish you would.
Well, sure, sure.
Really?
Of course. I'd like to come, Nita.
Good. Look, Kitty, I didn't see those hats back there. Well, I'm not going to leave this store till I've looked at every single thing in it.
Kitty.
She's so excited.
Kitty, listen to me. Huh? How long has this been going on between her and Bewley?
A month or so, I guess. Why?
I thought she was Charlie Pickard's girl.
Pickard thought she was, too. But she and Bewley used to meet on the sly. He never did find out. And he sure can't stop him now.
No, he can't.
As bad as it is for Chester, I'm glad Charlie Pickard got shot.
Well, there are other ways it could have been handled. Kitty, I'm going to tell you a secret.
A secret?
Well, that's what I want you to call it when you tell it to Nita.
Tell Nita what?
And I'm going to let Chester leave Dodge tonight.
What?
I'm going to ride out of town with him, and as soon as he's gone, I'm coming back and arrest Bewley.
Bewley? You think he did it, Matt?
Well, he could have. He had a good reason to. I'm going to find out for sure tonight. Anyway, tell Nita that I have a witness. A witness that nobody knows about but me.
But, Matt, if Bewley believes that, won't he wonder why you're letting Chester run away?
Well, not if he hears my witness won't be back in Dodge for a couple of days. And that I'm afraid Sam Noonan will form a lynch mob before then.
All right. But you're asking a lot, Matt. I tell Anita this could ruin her one chance to be happy.
Now, she wouldn't be happy with a murderer, Kitty. And if Bewley's innocent, I promise you that nothing will happen to her.
Okay, Matt. I'll do it.
All right, good. Now, Chester will be riding out of Moss Grimmick's stable about midnight tonight. With me. Hoping he'd come into the stable, Chester. We'd have a better chance at him that way.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's me he's going to be after. I'll go out first.
I'll cover you the best I can, Mr. Dillon.
Now, look, he doesn't know which direction we're going to be taking, so I expect he'll be hiding pretty close to the stable.
Mr. Dillon, you're risking your life just to keep me out of jail.
I'm catching a murderer, Chester.
No, sir, that's only part true. You're catching a murderer.
I'm going to lead my horse out the main door now. You stay here in the shadows. And I'm going to turn back and call to you so that he'll know it's me that's out there.
Well, ain't there some other way we can catch him, Mr. Dillon? I swear I don't know what I'd do if anything happened.
I'm going to go now.
Yes, sir.
Hurry up, Chester. Let's get moving.
Stop it. He's in that alley, Mr. Dillon. I seen his gun flash.
Don't shoot, Chester. Wait a minute. Come on.
Look. Laying right there, Mr. Dillon. That's a woman.
Yeah. You hurt bad, Nita. Where did I hit you?
My arm. Here.
Let me take a look. Well, it's not broken. We'll get you up to the docks right away.
She tried to kill you, Mr. Dillon.
No. No, it wasn't me. I followed Jake here. And I tried to stop him.
Get on, Chester.
What?
Where is he, Nita?
I couldn't stop him. He's a murderer.
Where is he? Tell me.
That rain barrel at the end of the alley. He said he was going to hide in there and for me to shut up.
All right, you stay with her, Chester.
Yes, sir.
I'm taking no chances, Bewley. I'm going to start blowing holes in that barrel.
No. Don't you. Look. My hand. Can't you see him?
All right, keep them up. Hi. All right, now stand up.
I ain't going to try nothing, Marshal.
I'll take your gun. Give it to me. Mm-hmm. All right, now climb out of there.
Sure. I wasn't going to shoot nobody, Marshal. You made a big mistake, especially shooting a woman like
Shut
that.
Up. Start walking.
Sure.
Jake?
Shut up, Nita.
I told you not to do it. I told you.
Too bad you wasn't killed. She Jake. Was the one tried to do it, Marshal, not me.
But I
only run and hid to protect her, sort of.
You're not making much sense, Billy. Take him to jail, Chester. Yes,
listen sir. To me, Marshal.
No. Get going.
Come on. Move, Billy. Go on. And you better walk straight.
Won't do no good. You can't keep me in jail.
Yeah, you'll be saying that a month from now, Billy.
Can you walk all right, Nita?
Well, let me rest a minute. When I can.
Yeah, sure.
I guess you won't be coming to the wedding after all, will you, Marshal?
No. No, Nita, I guess I won't. Here, I'll carry you up to docks.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey.
Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, James Nusser, and Joyce McCluskey. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Listen to Chesterfield's two great radio shows every week. The Perry Como Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Dragnet, Tuesday nights on another network. Remember, listen again next week for another transcribed story of the Western Frontier when Marshal Matt Dillon, Chester Proudfoot, Doc, and Kitty, together with all the other hard-living citizens of Dodge, will be with you once more. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's drama. It's Gunsmoke.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Gunsmoke on Tuned to Yesterday with a John Meston story, Chester's Murder, heard on CBS on January 15, 1955. And that's it for this hour of Radio Westerns. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.